Welcome, revolutionaries. This is the Revolt Lap podcast, and we just thank you for listening, for spending some time with us, whether this is going to be through Facebook or just listening through our podcast. Today we have a gentleman that is, I consider him pretty unique. He's definitely a world traveler, but his heart is all about doing what's best for kids and creating a better world through it. Today you're going to hear about Steve Sostak. Inspire Citizen One is where you can connect with him, especially on Twitter. And in this podcast, you're really going to understand how kids can become activists to really understand themselves, understand the world, and make some change. So again, we thank you for subscribing to this podcast, and make sure you make some comments, like, whatever you need to do, and give us some feedback.
So as always, we're thankful to have you with us and join us on our Vote Lab podcast. We're committed to helping you start the revolution your learners need. Today, we're very happy to have, we're lucky to know a lot of national stars, but I don't know, Darren, is this our first international superstar guest?
You know, that yes.
Guy? Yes.
You know, yeah, that, two keywords, international, super. Superstar.
Oh, you know, my bad. I said international.
Super international. We can get rid of the star, man. No, you don't have to go that way. Just a teacher that's been overseas for a long time working internationally after being originally in Chicago, right? But thank you guys for that introduction. That's way too nice.
Absolutely, Steve. Absolutely. So this is Steve Sostak. You're going to see today just his journey, his impact, and where you can bring him into your PLN and the difference that he can make with you. And like you said, he's been an educator, domestic and abroad, and he's doing some high level work to help change what we do with learners. So we're going to get into that in a little bit, but Steve, we'd like to start off with a question to help our learners get to know you a little bit better. Sure. It's a little bit different. So we want to kick it off with, Steve, tell us who you were, who you are, and who you hope to be.
Wow. We'd talk a while about that, but I guess who I was I grew up in Chicago, right? So outside of Chicago, I grew up with my mom and my sister. My mom was a principal at school, an elementary school teacher and principal for years. Something I think education was something that was always kind of in my blood and on my radar. I graduated of all places from the University of Notre Dame. And then I came back to Chicago. I was actually a punk rock musician for about 8 years. Toured with my band, played over in Europe and Canada and the States and for about, 700, 800 shows of all things. But actually that traveling kind of really planted a seed with me. And the idea that I just really enjoyed, seeing different contexts, seeing different parts of the States, seeing different parts of the world. I went back, I got my teaching master's at the University of Illinois Chicago when I was in my mid-late 20s and was teaching in Chicago for a while. When I got married, my wife was also a high school teacher in Chicago. And after a few years, we just sort of got the itch to kind of combine our love of travel with our love of education. And we started looking into, what would it mean to be an international school teacher? And from there, we ended up going to a job fair in Boston. And next thing we knew, we were in Lima, Peru, teaching at Colegio Roosevelt in Lima. And that was sort of the beginning of being overseas for the last 17 years, teaching grade four, teaching middle school, teaching civic journalism, global citizenship. And then a few years ago, I left the classroom to start Inspire Citizens, where now we, primarily work with teachers on how to, do all those things I just mentioned at a really high level and empower kids to make a difference in the world. Okay, so that was the first two. Where do I want to go? I think right now we're going where we are with Inspire Citizens is we really want to become a force in helping schools and teachers be community centers for social justice, for sustainable development, for collective well-being, and put the kids in the driver's seat of what that means for the community, and help teachers to facilitate those things, to help them connect to their standards, to help bring those standards to life through project-based and inquiry-based learning. And then the last piece is to really help schools see the big picture of how schools fit into the greater community, both locally and globally. I think sometimes, for numerous reasons, schools can become a bubble and we can become very standardized and we aren't amplifying the unique diversity of each of our schools under some kind of a common goal of something like social justice or sustainable development. So long-term goal there, help as many teachers as I can, empower as many students as I can, help change policy as much as I can, and just try to stay positive and work with awesome people like you guys.
Yeah, well, good. Well, Steve, you hit a key word, and especially from our book, is empowerment. And let me give our viewers, listeners, kind of a sense of who you are from my perspective, because I've known Steve now for about 2 years, and it's all about connecting. And I mean, if people watching this or listening don't understand how important it is to connect with other people, you need to get yourself out there. Because I was working on a design thinking class and had this idea after talking with Barbara Bray in Oakland, California, about taking the UN Global Goals and putting it into a design class as kind of a level up from our sixth grade to our seventh grade. The seventh grade class is called Impact. So she connected me with Aaron Dowd. So Barbara, Aaron, and then Aaron connected me with Steve. And here's who Steve is. Steve is a person that is, as much as he can be, because he's traveling the world, literally, he's available. He wants to help. He's a connector. He's humble. And he wants what's best for kids. So Steve, at this point, I think you really need to give our listeners and viewers an idea of the SDGs and Inspire Citizen, and just how does that fit in education right now?
For sure. Well, first of all, thanks for that. And, you know, I think, I'm guessing everybody that's listening or you guys agree, is number one is it's for the kids, right? Like, we got into teaching because we want to empower kids. We want kids to feel like they can do something, that they can feel confident about what they're learning, and they can actually apply it to do something to make themselves healthy and to make the world a better place. Hopefully that's the why, right? I'll let you know, I promise, if it's too much. I love waking up. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night, but I just think what you're doing is fantastic in terms of, again, you're doing that empowering piece. You see that design thinking, for example, can be a pathway for kids to take the standards that they're using in their classroom, to apply them to something they care about, and to actually connect and make a difference in their community. And it really comes back to that idea, not only of connecting with people, but connecting those dots too. And I guess maybe that's a good place for us to start with, with the Sustainable Development Goals. Can I share my screen? Is that possible? Do you guys mind if I do that? Because then we can actually talk through a couple things, and that might be an easier way to share it, because I think I have a few things open.
So while you're taking control and doing that, let me just encourage everybody to listen to the podcast. Yes, we're going to talk through
awesome
what's shared on the screen, but we encourage you, check out our Facebook page. Where you see, now where you hear not only the audio, but you'll see what Steve is sharing as well. So make sure you hit our Facebook page and like the Facebook page.
Yeah, and we'll just talk through stuff in a way that, obviously, if you can't see it, will be okay. Darren, if you can't, it's not that big of a deal either. I think it's down by right next to share screen. But let me talk to you guys a little bit about our approach to how to embed sustainable development into your classroom. Is what we call empathy to impact, right? And there we go. Let me pop this over real quick. You're gonna see some messy desktops. Okay, so you guys, those of you that are on Facebook, you're gonna be able to see this model. But basically what we have is what's called a project cycle pathway for empathy to impact. And you'll notice that sustainable development sort of shows up first. And what sustainable development is, the United Nations, those of you that don't know the Sustainable Development Goals, They put together 17 goals to we're trying to implement and attain by 2030. The reason I love the Sustainable Development Goals is it takes things like income inequality, it takes gender equity, quality education, things like the climate crisis, et cetera, as a sort of a common vocabulary that then you can take into your local context to see ways that you can amplify those things for your community to take part in. What does it look like in South Dakota? What does it look like in North Carolina? What does it look like in Chicago or Beijing? So we always are asking our kids or our teachers, what do we care about? So one of those things could be sustainable development if we focused in on that. It could be social emotional learning, it could be wellness, it could be social justice. And then as the kids dig into their research to sort of dig deeper into how do they become more aware of that particular topic or that thing that they care about that they want to get into, we want to really push teachers and students to sort of amplify what we call modern literacies or ways that you can dig deeper into research beyond just opening your computer and going to a Google search, for example. Are we doing interviews? Are we teaching media literacy? Are we surveying our community? Do we know how to do ethnographic observations and field experiences? Do we know that we're being misinformed often with the data that we receive? Graphicacy is another word. Like if we get a chart or a graph, are we able to dissect that to understand if the story is credible or truthful? And then, so that goes care aware. So how did we now become more deeply aware? Next piece, how do we apply those skills and the knowledge that we're already getting in class? What are our language objectives? What are our science and math objectives that we have to teach anyway, but we can help the kids to see that I can use area and volume, for example, to build a tiny house, right? That's going to have a less of a carbon footprint. Or I may use my persuasive writing to create a local pitch to empower the voices of women in my community, right? And then the last piece that we're working towards is what is your impact? What, we try to help schools and teachers and kids to see there's a lot of pathways to do things, right? You can participate, you can advocate, you can host an event, relationship building, creative art for impact or design for impact, teaching others, running workshops, creating the model or blueprint for social entrepreneurship, et cetera. So that's really how it works for us. What is this thing we care about, sustainable development? How do we unpack that through becoming more aware? How do we amplify what we're doing in with our skills in the classroom? How do we take action? So hopefully that makes sense. Derek, does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I was reaching for my unmute button because I wanted to share something enthusiastically. So yeah, Stephen, since we got connected for the podcast, I would, been reading up on some of your work, and I saw this empathy to impact, the empathy to impact model, and really encourage everyone to please check out inspirecitizens.org.
That's it.
Where you can find this resource. What it put me in the mind of was this current work the work and philosophy that we're hearing about being an anti-racist. So remember how we talked about people just saying that I'm not racist is yes. Not enough. And even if we gave people, if we give people the benefit of the doubt when they say that they're not racist, we can say that you care. I get that. But what impact are you making? What action are you taking? So I love this. As a parallel or as a congruence for all of us in our schools as we're looking to build up social justice, just like you said, the social justice, the whole piece.
And Derek, I think there's something that we also talk a lot about, especially with kids, and obviously when we're training teachers, is this move from cognitive empathy to more compassionate empathy. So that idea of where you can see in this model, again, like, do you know yourself? Like, where your worldviews and cultural views and your identity is coming from and the influences on those. And again, this ties really well, for instance, to the teaching tolerance social justice standards. But then also looking at, like, how is it that I'm really building relationships with diverse communities, right? Communities that are different than my community, right? And not just through, of course, we want that cognitive piece where we're going to be reading books and we're going to be listening to podcasts or we might be watching films, but we also have to make that intentional move to sort of an immersive learning experience where, you know, especially post-COVID, when we can get back into the communities and get on the ground, real activism does come from boots on the ground, right? And getting to know people and listening first and, you know, having needs analysis tools to understand others in a way that shows genuine empathy and a willingness to find everything from an understanding to even sometimes a compromise as you work with a diverse community towards a solution, right? And so that's really critical in our process too, is helping students to get into those experiences to build deeper relationships with diverse communities.
And I love the reflection pieces. Again, thank everybody. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm going to again ask you to come over to our Facebook page and look at this video and see this I was about to say graphic, but it's more like a change visual that Stephen is sharing with us. I love the reflection questions on here, Stephen. How did I apply my knowledge and thinking and understanding? And then there are four on here, but the ones that is just drawing my attention: how did I make an ethical and sustainable impact? When I see that question, it makes me think about, it makes me visualize a teacher coaching or leading or facilitating a discussion with a group of students about this question. And I mean, that's not yes or no. That's not low level. You know, that's not a skills of recall. That's really getting into the deep of the work that you've done and aligning it to what you hope to accomplish.
Oh, for sure. And even down, you know, when we work overseas with certain of our partner schools, we go all the way down to 3-year-olds, right? So we work great pre-K 3 all the way through 12, and trying to start getting kids' heads around, even the little ones, what is sustainable thinking. Like we actually, you know, we were seeing like people, planet, animals, oh, I wonder how you are, right? And just getting kids to kind of come to terms with, are we happy? Are we healthy? Are we safe, et cetera, right? Through the different lenses of, you know, others and ourselves and the people and the planet and the animals. But that idea also, we've been really pushing a lot of work towards like just answering questions with kids. What is sustainability, right? And if we're going to unpack if something is sustainable, yes, you can talk through, for instance, the sustainable development goals. Let me show you one other image that we use a lot with our students here. I'm flipping around. This is a fantastic image that we use. It's called the sustainability compass, right? And the interdependence of how, you know, what's our positive and negative effect on our actions and our behaviors, our thinking towards nature, and how that relates to economy, society and others, and also wellness, and, you know, the interconnectedness of those things, right? So getting kids into the systems thinking of something like this, as I make a decision or as I'm taking an action, starting to look at the plus minuses of these four elements, you know, north, east, south, and west in this case, nature, economy, society, and well-being, and asking, am I doing something that is a sustainable action? Am I doing something that ideally is a plus in all these areas, right? One other quick note too is we're about to relaunch our global youth media program. And let me see, you can see here on this side, this idea of like, what is ethics? So we teach a lot of our ethics through journalism and media, because we know kids are so engaged with the media that they consume. So we're looking at, we kind of jokingly put together SDG 18 here, a new SDG that was like a playoff of number 12. And this idea that, are we helping students to responsibly consume and produce media? Are we teaching things like ethical journalism going forward, especially in a world of a lot of quote unquote fake news and polarized information, right? So asking ourselves questions around, are we being truthful and accurate? Are we being fair and just? Is our information complete? Are we transparent with the communities that we're working with? You know, what is our sense of excellence in what we're saying or reporting or researching, or et cetera? How are we holding ourselves accountable, and do we respect humanity, right? And obviously those words can be applied to more than just media, but I think I love the fact that you focused in on that idea of what is sustainability and what is ethics. And again, bringing that meta language into our classroom is just absolutely critical.
Yeah, you know, you talk about vocabulary, Stephen. The interesting thing we found from our kids, because you talked about helping them understand sustainability, we had to, even with 12, 13-year-olds, we had to explain what poverty meant. And we were really surprised the very first, because this was a quarter class, the very first quarter we ever did this class, we had to look back up and talk about definitions for almost everything. And I think that's important for our listeners to know, is that, you know, you might think that kids know what these terms mean, but if you truly want them to understand it, you're going to have to give more context to them to help them.
And actually, it's funny you said that, because I'm about to work with a group of high school kids from St. Louis next week on a Changemakers Institute. And the first thing we're doing is unpacking a common vocabulary, right? So exactly what you said is important, because I think that this is where a lot of people, especially some people that are maybe a little bit timid with going to the language of something like the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, is that it's just a sense of a framework. It's a vocabulary that when you do bring the targets or the goals into your local context, so many people, parents, students, teachers, administrators, have aha moments and are like, yeah, we have poverty in our community that we need to address. Or yes, we have issues of governance in our local communities that we need to unpack and address, right? And even what might look like in schools and student councils, or you know, the different, you know, food issues inside of a school, for example. So the more that you allow that common vocabulary to then inform your local context and how you are bringing it to life with your kids in South Dakota or again in North Carolina, I think it's fantastic. We need those tools, right? And I agree with you in that let's open up that common vocabulary. And that's why the SDGs are so powerful. And then let's localize it, or I often call it glocalize it, take it from global to local, so that you know, kids can interact with it in ways that they can actually do something with it.
So Steve, I love your mission. I love what you, you know, what in the answer to your question, who you hope to be, I love where you're going. And you know, the fact that you're doing this on a global level just speaks a lot. What I like to dive into, I don't want to dive into it. I just want to skim the surface a little bit. How about that? So you work domestically and internationally, but you focus on standards no matter where you are. You focus on the objectives, what needs to be taught. We know the hesitance and the reticence of American educators in shifting their thinking or beliefs that we can teach standards and objectives outside a certain way, meaning prescriptive, pacing guides, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure that's a global phenomenon for the most part. But given that we need to see this kind of thinking and this application and this this practice in all of our schools, share with the audience what are some of the common barriers that you see in American educators in adopting and believing and trying this, versus some barriers that you see overseas, and then what are some strategies that mitigate those barriers? Because we have to see this being done.
Oh, for sure. I think the first thing I would always say in a situation, and this responds even to how we, I'm going to stop share so we can talk a little more face to face. How we often work with the schools that we do is we look at both short term and long term, right? So I would say that's a first thing is America, and again, I'm speaking from my own experience growing up in America, is we're very much an instant gratification culture, right? And to move into a situation where we can truly sort of transform the why of education, it's going to take some effort and it's going to take some time. But I would say at the same time, we don't have to come in and flip tables, right? Like we don't work with schools in the context of being like, everything you're doing is wrong, blah, blah, blah. Like, always sensitive to this idea that, like, yeah, standards are okay. Standards are good. We need standards, right? But when all we do is rely on standardization of data or standardization of assessment, I think that's when we become so in the box that we lose sight of sort of the holistic model of what students need as learners, right? And also the idea of what students can and can do with their learning, right? So the first thing I would suggest, and something that we're lucky, again, when we work with overseas schools, often they utilize standardized tests, for example, as a data point, right? We know it's one day in the spring and in the fall, for example. We know that kids could come in that day and have not had breakfast or didn't get a good night's sleep, and they might not have a good day. And that shouldn't determine the overall picture of that kid and the overall picture of that school, right? It's a piece of information. So we always look at, like, if that's one piece of information, how are we supporting the students into that self-assessment and peer assessment piece? So we work a lot with schools on student portfolios and mastery transcript style work. So that's something I would highly recommend your teachers that are listening to look at, is mastery.org, as a way to start looking at ways that students can kind of self-report their learning and their competencies, right? The last piece that I think is a really, and I want to be careful because I haven't been in the States for a long time, but is that idea that teachers are experts. And I don't know if we value that enough, in the idea that let's give teachers the training they deserve to become those experts, really become masters and artists, right? And allow that data point of that anecdotal formative assessment piece of the teacher-student experience, whether it's through Readers and Writers Workshop, whether it's through Darren and your design thinking, whether it's through an empathy to impact cycle, that also is a critical data point. So that as we triangulate that data, student self-assessment / peer assessment, teacher formative and, you know, conferencing type assessment, what do you see in the classroom, and standardized tests, now we're painting a fuller picture of the student, right? And I think what we've done is we've just focused too much on that one point, that we've lost so much of the ability to be creative thinkers and to be critical and creative thinkers, to, you know, the four C's, to collaborate and to be better citizens, to communicate in creative ways, and also then back to that ethical piece, to really build character. Because if we're just focusing on the tests, then I think it's just so limiting. I mean, you know this, I don't have to tell you this. You guys wrote a fantastic book about that.
So the one thing that comes to mind, because your work really is based on creating those relationships and facilitating it, how hard for you, Steve, has it been the last, you know, 4 or 5 months for your work I'm talking about, to really continue to get traction? Here's one example I think about. And I was just thinking the other day, I can't go into a grocery store anymore with my own reusable bags because there could be something related to the virus. And I thought right away, as far as our climate, have we stepped backwards now because of the virus, because we're not being able to be as sustainable anymore? And then I think about the work you're doing. What have you seen now in the last 5 months? Has it been more difficult, or have you seen yourself kind of pivot and go a different direction?
I think there's a plus and minus to both, right? I'm in the vein of trying to use the situation that we've been given to, in some ways, this is sort of the great unmasking, right? Where we now get to start to really look at, with a light shining upon things, everything from where are we at with good health, and let's come back to the SDGs, right? So where are we at with good health and well-being? Where are we at with the way that, you know, we treat each other in terms of equity? Where are we in the way that you know, we look at voting rights, for example, and, you know, I feel like as hard as COVID has been and as hard as this sort of, you know, unmasking of systemic racism for a lot of people in our society, it's something that I think eventually we needed to go through, right? So then the question comes to, like, what are we going to do with this moment? Like, are we, this is sort of a crossroads, right? And not only in the political sphere, but I think in education too. Like, we have to start asking ourselves, is this the tipping point where we can make these shifts with the things that we're doing to truly embed, you know, social justice and sustainable thinking, social emotional learning into the classroom and the learning experience in ways that has synergy. It's not another thing, right? I think that's one of the things that gets me sometimes a little bit nervous and frustrated is there's tons of great resources out there, but they still often are standalones, right? It might be something you do in an advisory block, or it might be something we're going to do a 15-minute social justice, you know, thing at the beginning of Tuesday, right? Instead of it's who we are, it's in our culture, it's in our teaching, and now's the time, right? So what I would say to you in response is, this is the time to unpack those questions that you just threw at me with your kids, right? So we need to then look back at what are the root causes of the COVID, you know, the symptoms of COVID in terms of why is it here? What are we going to do about it? What is it doing to our well-being? What is it doing to our learning? And how can we empower ourselves to make significant changes going forward? And also to put the kids in the driver's seat of those conversations, right? Because, you know, I'm a father too. I've got three kids, two are older, going off to college at this point, but like they need this, like you said, they need this language to make sense of this, because if we go back to that long game piece, this is our purpose, right? We need to give these kids, my middle school daughter, the tools to be ready to be the next generation, to solve the COVIDs of the world, to deal with the climate crisis issues of the world, to really attack social justice issues, and to really act in anti-racist ways. And the beauty is, it doesn't have to be that hard. It just has to be connected in ways that's meaningful.
So the final question we have for you is, what, in your opinion, Steve, needs a revolution in education today?
I want to come back to that idea, I think, of putting trust in our educators. I think that we have such a disconnect with how, you know, you see it. Today was a tough day for me watching kind of, and I don't want to bring too much politics into this, but, you know, watching some of the ways that, I want to say this carefully, how teachers are sort of framed when we're dealing with even going back to school in the fall, where, you know, I think that we've devalued educators in a lot of places, and I think it would be really beneficial to support teachers in a way that supports their wellness. Like, I've personally gone through some time where I needed to take a break from teaching because I was just overwhelmed and, you know, needed to sort of reset. And that's something that's real. So I think we need to acknowledge that, right? But I also think that we have to applaud teachers for the artists and the creative thinkers and the human, you know, they are the key to humanity, right? Working with all of these young people in ways that if we can support them through the things that we're talking about today, to help them and facilitate the language of justice and the language of sustainability and the language of ethics and social emotional learning into their practice, and then allow them to be the artists that they are and to facilitate, you know, the student learning, Darren, the way that you do. And I know, you know, Derek, the way that you're going to be doing at your new middle school. I really think that's how you revolutionize education. I think we've gone, I read a book recently called Tyranny of Metrics, and it basically outlines this idea that we've kind of gone so much into analytics that we've forgotten that on the ground, there's still humans that have to deal with the nuances of the everyday experience. And I think that back to that standardization question, if we can step away from being obsessed with, you know, just quantitative data and making kids numbers and teachers numbers, that I think that's where the revolution can start. And I would highly recommend any teacher that's listening to this, do a deep dive into the UN Sustainable Development Goals and ask yourself, how can you get those into the experience of your class? Dig into teaching tolerance, social justice language. How can you get that into the experience of your class? And last thing would be just reach out. If you want to talk about any of these things with Kavita or Aaron or myself from Inspire Citizens, this is what we love. This is why we do it. And we left the classroom recently just to be more available to do these things with teachers and administrators and kids.
And yeah, you can tell the passion, you can tell, actually, you can, not actually, you can tell the passion, you can tell the thoughtfulness, you can tell the mission, you can tell the drive and really where all this comes from by, you know, following you on social media, just checking out your resources, your website. Before we wrap up, please share with our audience how they can connect with you, how they can find some of the resources and some of the resources. And you know what? Don't just give your web address.
Yeah, of course.
Share some of the stuff that's on your website, because there's a lot of great, not school changing resources there, but just really thought shifting resources there.
All right. So if you're on Facebook, I'll walk you through a couple things. So we have Donna Guerin, who's a colleague of ours from Denver, Colorado. She's going to be co-facilitating the Global Youth Media Program. So if any of the teachers out there want to get their classroom involved in using ethical journalism in the class as sort of an output piece to literacy or really anything, even if you're a science or math teacher, contact Donna through Twitter or through me. I'm Inspire Citizen 1, so there's no S. Normally we're Inspire Citizens. So that would be a good starting point. A second piece I'll show you here for administrators out there and for curriculum coordinators, et cetera, or school boards or district people, we've created a self-study that can be used as almost a almost an accreditation piece, if you will. A few of our schools in Asia use this and use it to sort of look at the entire school approach to things like sustainability and social justice. And so you can see there's a missioning and visioning piece, there's teacher and curriculum piece, there's a student piece, and there's a local community piece. And it literally has about 10 indicators under each of these bubbles that you can use to sort of ask yourself as a school, where are you at? And this is a free PDF that's about 120 pages that includes tons of pictures and examples of what each of these things looks like. So that is on our website. There's a pop-up window that comes up right away, and you can request that PDF, and Kavita and I are happy to even call you and Zoom you and unpack it with you and your team. You guys already saw this. So this is just something that if you're a teacher or if you're a student leader and you want to get into a project cycle using some of these, we've got toolkits and skill sets and frameworks and things that we're happy to share with you guys. Again, most of this stuff is free, but just reach out, and if there's ways that we can, you know, work with you, we're happy to do that. And then the last piece is we have a master's course. I mentioned this at the beginning when we were talking off the air. This is sort of what we call a student impact profile. So what we often do with the first thing we do with schools when we go and work with them is we will say, what's your portrait of a global citizen? What's your portrait of a student graduate? And this is a model that we sort of came up with where we've talked about this today of the why. What impact do you want to have? Some of these become those competencies on the how. Darren, you talked about the language of design thinking or service learning. And do we have that in our schools? And then different elements of applied learning, taking our standards or key concepts, ISTE standards of technology, and bringing those to life. So we're actually running a full year master's course that you can take in chunks if you want to become an Inspire Citizens certified master teacher. And that's something we're launching. You can see here on August 30th, 2020. And if you go to our website at inspirecitizens.org, there's a tab right there that says Master Teacher Endorsement, and there's a registration link. And we're going to keep it to about 40 to 50 global educators this year, and we're at about 25 right now. But definitely jump in if you're interested. So I think that pretty much covers it, though, man. So you can see it's all across the board, you know, from parents to administrators to community members to students to teachers. We're there to help.
Yeah, so we hope, not we hope, we knew that today was going to be a special day. Steve is, again, international superstar, like we said at the beginning. So when you see this, when you hear this podcast, we're gonna launch our Facebook. We're gonna launch the video on Facebook the same day, just so you can go over and see some of these magnificent resources. But don't hesitate to connect with Steve. Just fantastic resources from a great person who's part of a change group that is really going to help us revolutionize how we approach learning, how we approach our learners, and what we can expect and what we can get from them. So thank you for joining us today. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and we'll thank you for being a revolutionary.
Thanks, everyone, for joining this podcast with Steve Sostak, and we just invite you to share, subscribe, and we just want you to join us to make a difference in education today, creating a revolution.